Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylists Podcast. I'm Randa.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised.
Last, because I just like on the cuff thought of a hair fact, and it's not a hair fact, it's a PSA. To you people that get mad that nail salons don't use the cheese grater on your foot, My dude, they're not supposed to use those.
Those are illegal.
Yeah, like those are no, get you pumice stone one or like the, but those cheese graters, those can cut your fucking feet.
Also, they just make your calluses worse.
Yeah, they literally shave it down so much to make it worse for you to come back and get more pedicures.
Yep.
So yeah, and just in general, let me, I now on that soapbox.
Yeah, girl.
General nail salon hygiene is not what it should be.
No, not good.
They're not supposed to be reusing all that stuff. And I guarantee you, it looks like they're like just putting it in their drawer. Oh, no, they're putting that in their drawer because they're going to use it on the next person.
Yeah.
Like
the dip nail powder that just went all over your naked finger.
They should be pouring that into a separate little thing for just you. But yet you are putting your nasty finger in there and you are contaminating that whole thing for you.
And they're going to let everybody else do it.
You are Eskimo kissing your nails with every other nail in Cleveland that has been in that dip powder. So y'all still going to do it, but just know that.
Pick your nail salon wisely.
Right. Right. So anyway.
Trigger warning, this episode contains graphic crime.
I'm going to tell you about the kidnap and murder of Sharon Elise George. August 4th of 1982, she was only 18 years old, and she was actually like a pretty fresh graduate from Bradley Central High School, but she had graduated that May, and now this is August. So, you know, it's the end of the summer. She's a grown-up now. But for a year or two, she'd been dating this man named Lonnie Cross. And Linda, his ex-wife, like, hated Sharon, the new girlfriend. She was still in love with the ex-husband. After Sharon and Lonnie moved in together, she may have paid somebody to burn their trailer down.
Oh, my.
Yeah, like, she was crazy over him.
Upset.
But the thing is, Lonnie and Linda worked together. Still, even after divorce. And they worked at Smith Motors. Lonnie and Sharon were staying at the Scottish Inn here in town.
Okay.
They were planning that morning to go to Nashville to buy cars for Smith Motors.
Okay.
His employer. So he left the hotel around 8:39 and he was picking up the owner of the car lot. He was coming back to get Sharon.
Okay.
He comes back. Sharon's gone. Door's not like standing wide open or anything. Sharon's gone. Her purse is gone. Everything's gone. So it looks like Sharon just left. So he's thinking maybe, I don't know what she was doing. You know, mm-hmm. They didn't have cell phones back then. So he was like, you know, I'm going to go into Nashville and, you know, we'll she's obviously doing something. So around 1 o'clock, he calls Smith Motors and is like, hey, you know, has Sharon stopped up there? And nobody had seen her.
She was gone.
Just gone.
She's just disappeared.
Yeah.
She's just gone without a trace.
She's gone. That's gone. The last he heard or saw her was before he left that morning. She's gone. Well, April 29th, 1991, a man named Ed was hunting with his son in Cumberland County, and they found a human skull in the leaves about 125 yards from the highway that was Sharon's. Once they find her, they finally have enough to make an arrest. This entire story is from the court file.
Okay.
So this is, there are three but four main people involved in this case. Everything that I'm about to tell you is all from their testimony, but at the same time, all of these motherfuckers are guilty in some capacity. So what are they actually telling that's the truth?
Okay, gotcha.
So this is how the story goes. Joseph Norman had met Linda, Lonnie's ex-wife, in 1981. He had just moved out of prison, and he lived with his mom, who was next door neighbors with Linda. And Linda comes over, and she starts asking him if he knows anybody that can get rid of Sharon.
Okay.
His story is, he said yes, but never intended on doing it.
Okay. Why do we need to get rid of her?
Because just that's what Linda wanted to do. She hated Sharon. Decided she needed to go. Maybe she thought that Lonnie would come back to her.
That's not how that works.
I don't get it either. Thankfully, though, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So they agreed to $10,000, but $3,500 up front.
Oh, damn. Big money.
So he gets the money from her and then immediately moves to Victoria, Texas with his girlfriend, Marlene, and her kids and this man named Roy Jenkins. None of them get a job at the time. They're literally, they get an apartment. They're just living off this money. And when the money runs out, he has Marlene, his girlfriend, call Linda and say that they've been robbed and he needed the rest of his money or he wasn't going to, you know, do this job for her.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened like two or three times and she would send the money every single time. So she sent them about $1,500 to $2,000 during that time while they were there. They move back and she lets them live in her furnished house and lets them drive in her 1996 Chevy car. Just a few days after he moved back, Linda was like, so Sharon's going to be alone in this room at the Scottish Inn. It's the time to do it. She knew the room number Sharon was going to be in. Please ask me why. Why? Because she put a tape recorder in her ex-husband's office at their shared employment and had completely recorded everything to know their plans.
Oh, wow.
So
this is very premeditated.
Yes, she knew exactly what she was doing. This is what she wanted. So Roy and
she's
Joseph,
basically like, I paid you for this. You're doing it.
Like
now.
You're going to do it. Like you kind of skirted me on this issue. It's time.
Yeah.
Like I paid you. You're going to do it. So Roy and Joseph drove to the Scottish Inn and they literally just knocked on the door and told her that they were Lonnie's friends and he had told them to come get her. So she literally got her purse and just left with them. And Linda was sitting across the road watching.
That poor
the whole
baby
time.
Didn't know any better.
She had no clue. And they drove about 6 or 7 miles from the hotel and they took Sharon out of the car and they cut her throat several times while Joseph did, while Roy held her, and then Roy did the same. Joseph also says Roy hit her in the head with a rock. Roy says Joseph did it. So someone hit her in the head with a rock. They went home and they called Marlene and they called Linda from a payphone and were like, hey, you know, this is what's going on. Linda came to the house. All three rode back to this side of the killing, right?
Yeah.
When they got there, they realized that Sharon was still alive because they had crawled away from where she was, where they left her. So they wrapped her in a sheet and put her in Linda's trunk and then returned to the house, got Marlene and her fucking kids in one car, and then Linda with Sharon in the trunk in another car, drove up to Joseph's brother's house in Rockwood, Tennessee, led Marlene and the kids there. Then they took the victim, and Joseph and Roy and Linda went off to finish her, essentially.
So that whole time, and she's just riding around with them?
Yes, in their trunk.
Oh, fucking Lord.
Slash multiple times, mind you. And had been beaten in the head with a rock. So they took her like 30, 45 minutes away from his house to like this logging road way back out in the woods. And Linda had brought her son's shotgun and gave it to Joseph, and he shot the victim in the upper body. And then they dug a shallow grave with a shovel from her car. From her car.
Yes.
Buried the body, put trash over the grave, and then just went back to his brother's house like nothing happened. They broke the gun up and threw it in the woods across from the house. And Roy and Joseph just, you know, destroyed the purse, everything. And then Roy, Joseph, and Marlene all immediately moved to Kingsport, Tennessee to distance.
They said, we're out of here.
Yes. But Sharon's body was found clothed and she had on, you know, everything she was wearing. And it literally showed a skull fracture and lead pieces. And so they could really figure out what was going on or what had happened. And I mean, it was not hard for the police to figure out this was Linda. This was not hard. It was not hard to tie these people all together.
Right. Like we're pretty sure we know what happened here.
Right. And so they're all in prison. Linda actually was up for parole last year, but she was denied.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Right. So they tortured and killed this poor, sweet baby girl for no reason. She was just trying to live her life and probably was so happy with her boyfriend. And Lonnie might have been too young at one point, but otherwise it sounds like they were just living life and fucking crazy.
Jealous ass bitch.
She just wouldn't leave him alone and killed her for literally no reason.
Because she dated the wrong man.
Right. So just so y'all know, bad shit happens in Cleveland, Tennessee. That little girl was 18 years old.
Just a baby.
Just a baby.
Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye, y'all.